When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
Let's begin this morning with Thought Leader Thursday. Dan Behrens is with us, Senior Vice President in the Commercial Real Estate Group at Associated Bank. Dan, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
We welcome you to our cadre of thought leaders. Before we want to get into some of the meat of today's show, I want to have you introduce yourself and talk a little bit about your background and what makes you a thought leader.
Sure. I've been at Associated for almost 6 years now. I've been in commercial real estate finance for about 17 years. Most of that is financial institutions, life insurance companies, all the way down to commercial or community banks in Chicago.
Your knowledge of commercial real estate is what we're going to draw on today. I know there's a lot of different trends happening. You keep your ear to the ground. That's probably how you hear most of your information, right?
Yeah, absolutely. My developers, owners keep me pretty well informed of what's happening in the market and all their different asset classes.
There is some news as we begin the show today, and we're still sort of going through it, but the city of Chicago has been wanting to put a casino in the city. And there was a consultant report that came out that said none of the five sites that were proposed are financially feasible. Of the five sites, Michael Reese was at the top. And even that, the report said the taxes are so onerous that an investor might not come in. What's at play here just generally, not necessarily from the casino standpoint, but what's happening with taxes that would cause something like this?
Well, to your point about the casinos, I mean, I think transportation is a big draw or would be a big indicator about the success of a casino in any of those locations that Mayor Lightfoot proposed. But the taxes, I mean, it's a very difficult topic right now because it's still a really relative unknown. No one knows what Fritz Kage is going to do with assessments. And I think the commercial real estate community is just hoping that he's not going to lay the majority of the burden on real estate tax or the real estate landlords. Commercial landlords, in particular, it's a large weight for a landlord to bear. Luckily, some asset classes they can pass that cost along to their tenants. But for a situation like this casino, I mean, there's no tenants to lay that off on. So that would be a very difficult proposition, and one that, you know, the consultancy realized this probably wouldn't be an ideal location.
With your wealth of experience in this, from an investment standpoint, what would need to change about that equation? Is this something that the city can change the tax structure? Is this something the state's going to have to deal with? But it would probably involve bringing down those taxes, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, like we mentioned before we went on air, there are different tax incentives that are really at the state and county level that can make investment in a particular area worthwhile. We see a lot of that. There was a big discussion on tax incentives with Amazon's HQ2 when they were kicking around Chicago for a little bit, and a lot of the cities were offering very lucrative tax incentives. And I think the same thing can be done for a casino if the city's very serious about actually putting a casino in the city of Chicago.
So we'll stay tuned to see more developments on that. I want to get your views on where, if you had to give the local CRE market a report card, what would it be? Or how are we doing these days?
Right now, I think we're probably in a A-minus or a solid A kind of grade right now. I mean, a lot of my developers are merchant developers, meaning they, build and sell. There's a lot of liquidity in the market. So when these buildings are being built, a lot of them are being sold. When they're stabilized, some when they're, during construction, and even some prior to putting a shovel on the ground. I mean, some condo projects, it's not uncommon to sell out before, a condo building's complete. Industrial is a very liquid asset class right now. So a lot of industrial developers are able to sell their buildings even before they start construction, which is it's a very impressive feat if the developer can secure a land site that really draws that much attention. But it's some asset classes are faring better than others. Everyone has an issue with retail. I think retail is in the right spots. A still a very good asset class in the right locations. Industrial is very busy, and multifamily, obviously, in the city of Chicago is the strongest it's been in quite some time.
I like that assessment. It's a very positive one. I wonder if we don't hear much about a more detailed assessment like that, because all of these mega developments seem to be sucking in all of the attention, sucking in all of the air. I mean, that we hear so much about, whether it's this development on the north side or by the river. Is that the case? Is it just because these big deals are taking up so much of the attention, we don't hear about the health of the rest of the market?
I think so. I mean, the 78 plan by Related, and you have Landmark Properties doing the development along the train tracks just west of Soldier Field. You have Sterling Bay doing Lincoln Yards. I mean, these are huge headline-grabbing generational projects that just happen to be all ongoing at the same time. I mean, I can't think of a time in and around Chicago when these kinds of developments have been taking place at the same time. I mean, you know, they're interesting. People want to know about them just because they affect so many people, because they're just the sheer size and the scope of the project. So they garner a lot of the attention, and as well they should, just because of the size, the scope, the cost. I mean, when you see a Lincoln Yards is going to cost $6 billion, it's impressive, and people want to know where the money's coming from, how it's going to affect the neighbors, the area, the infrastructure, the transportation. So there's a lot of things that go into these larger developments that, you know, a smaller development's just not sexy enough to hit the front page of a paper.
Yeah, some of these big developments, I saw one story where they described it as a potentially historic transformation of these areas of town.
Well, what Sterling Bay plans to do along the river, I mean, the river's been blighted. Everyone who grew up in Chicago knows that. Would you ever eat a fish that you caught out of the Chicago River? So I think they're trying to beautify, and Mayor Emanuel did that with his, in the last administration, try to beautify the Riverwalk. And I think the river and the lake obviously are very big draws for the city. And if they can beautify the north branch of the river at the Lincoln Yards, that would be impressive. I mean, on the south branch of the river, you have the 78 that's being done as well. I mean, these are areas of the city that really deserve new development. And I think when they're fully built out and fully stabilized, they're going to be huge assets for the city.
And they're areas where, at least in the city center, that we're kind of running out of space to have big developments like this, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look around, there's not a lot of empty land left available. I mean, no one's making more land now. So the developers are pushing west, they're pushing north, and pushing south. And I think, you know, as we get back to the, just to touch back on the Michael Reese, I mean, that's where the development is moving south. So, I mean, eventually that land will be used for something. And it's exciting to watch what the developer's been doing to expand the CBD.
Back to the report card, a good report card you've given the local market. There's still a little bit of concern, though, among investors, isn't there? Or at least we're seeing that creep up a little bit. What are you seeing there?
Investors are still skittish. I mean, they're nervous about the taxes, I think, is the major issue that an investor is going to point to. But I think there's a lot of healthy investment in the Chicago and the Midwest. I mean, cap rates are more attractive in the Midwest than the coasts. I mean, New York and LA, San Francisco, I mean, the cap rates are so compressed that investors aren't getting the yield they want, but they'll still be able to find that in Chicago, even if taxes do take a bit of a jump. So, I mean, let's hope that cap rates continue to stay at attractive levels for institutional investment.
I know we had in the past talked about it, foreign investment being big in Chicago. Is that still the case, or is that money dried up a little?
No, there's still foreign investment. I think EB-5 is still something that developers, lenders, banks, everyone's still trying to get their head around it. I'm not certain that everyone fully understands the full EB-5 program. But, you know, sovereign wealth funds from overseas are still buying into, investing in lots of these larger developments around the city.
Something you said earlier about retail, let's go back to that. We've always seen these headlines about the retail apocalypse, but that's based on what you've said and what I've been reading. It's not really the case, right? Is it? Is there a better way to describe that? Because it's more of a transformation as opposed to a decimation, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd say it's definitely a transformation. I mean, it's hard for the average person to realize. I mean, if you drive down Michigan Avenue, I mean, Barney's just filed for Chapter 11. You see the former Apple store is still vacant on Michigan Avenue, and that's Michigan and Huron. You have the old Saks Fifth Avenue men's store at Michigan and Superior that's still vacant. So those are big witnesses or identifiers for the average person to say retail's falling apart. But like I mentioned before we started, I have a lot of retail developers who are doing massive redevelopments. I think this city, mostly the country, has been over-retailed. There's too much retail, and it's going to take a retail developer with some vision and some money that can redevelop, demolish some of the buildings. You know, that's what kind of the plan is for some of the dying regional malls that are around. They're going to demolish some of the possibly vacant anchor space and convert to, I've heard, projects for parkland and apartments, condominiums, mixed-use developments that'll really take away some of the retail space that in this age of e-commerce is really unnecessary.
And I've even seen, there was a report in RE Journals about Cleveland. I know it's Cleveland, not Chicago, but it's sort of indicative of perhaps the suburban environment, especially where one of those big retail places goes away and it's replaced by a grocery store, a new grocery store, or even a home improvement store. Those two sectors that are doing, especially home improvement, doing pretty well. Is that what you're seeing too? And again, in the suburbs?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have, I think, three projects going on right now that are in the northern and northwest suburbs that are redevelopments that are going to be grocery anchored shopping centers, and which is still a very liquid asset class. We talked about outside investment. If you want to buy retail, you want to buy grocery anchored shopping centers. And there are new grocery chains that are actually coming into the market, haven't been announced yet, but it's very interesting, very intriguing. So I think when the new retail landscape is finalized, it'll be much more sustainable for the future.
A good indication of whether or not you're going to be a great thought leader is the ability to tease us. And you've just done that, I think, with this grocery chains that have not yet announced. Any more you can say about that or no?
No, unfortunately not.
Well,
sorry.
Stay tuned for that.
Confidentiality agreements.
Yeah. But it is positive. I think there's this notion that people don't go to the grocery store anymore is crazy. I mean, every time I'm at the grocery store, it's packed.
The grocery store is still obviously a staple for everybody's household. I think the rise in delivered groceries is increasing, but we're not there yet. I mean, I think we as Americans are slow to change. I believe in the UK, the concept of delivered groceries is much more prevalent, but people still enjoy going to the grocery store. I mean, there's something that people like about it, and people don't want to change their routine, even though it's full and the parking lots are full. But that's something that's going to evolve over time. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's certainly not going to be a overnight change that all of a sudden, if you've been going to your local Jewel or Mariano's or Whole Foods and going there once a week getting your groceries, you're not going to all of a sudden stop next week and start ordering online. It's just not going to happen.
Should we be concerned about the architecture business slowing down?
I don't think so. I mean, that's kind of a tough question. I'm not all that in tune to the architectural market. I think it's a data point. I read the same thing, I believe, was in Cranes that they talked about architecture building was down. I think that's a single data point. What I can tell you is that my developers are continuing to develop. I mean, I see their pipeline that's coming 12 months, 18 months, 24 months down the road, and it's still a full pipeline. There's still a lot of work that all these developers have planned in and around Chicago, the Midwest, is where we usually play.
You know, the report said billings for some of the big architectural firms down or flat for the last 5 months. Dan, I want to give you the opportunity to let people know how they can get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want.
Sure, absolutely. They can call me at my office, 312-544-4657, or email me, daniel.barons@associatedbank.com. That's 312-544-4657 was the phone number. And Daniel, D-A-N-I-E-L, .barons, B-A-R-R-I-N-S, @associatedbank.com.
Dan, it's great meeting you. Thanks for sharing your knowledge with us this morning, and come back and see us.
Will do. Thanks, Steve, for having me.
Dan Barons, Senior Vice President in the Commercial Real Estate Group at Associated Bank, our thought leader today. We do these thought leader conversations every Thursday here in the Opening Bell. Remember, you can listen to our past conversations over at WGNradio.com and head over to AssociatedBank.com/thought leadership to read more about our thought leaders and hear more conversations there as well.